Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Ooh, I don't want that on my karmic record.
No, I really don't.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Yes, well, that's true.
Timing is everything. Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you. My number is 888-914-9149. I want to share something with you. It just ties into something that we talked about on the program not that long ago, and that's about if the father of the family goes to church, goes to Mass in the case of Catholics, that has a profound effect. It has a profound influence on children. We spent some time talking about it, and I had mentioned in passing, I alluded to some anecdotal studies and things that I was aware of, and I found a little more information about this in the last few days. I wanted to share it with you. This is an article by Mark Haas, and we'll get a link to this article for you on the show Twitter feed at P Madrid Show. You can also find it on the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. Kids stay in church if dad goes to church. That's the headline. Kids stay in church if dad goes to church. And he starts off looking at the decline of Christianity in the United States and in the West in general, saying this could perhaps coincide with the diminishing masculine roles among fathers within our culture. Fathers are often unfairly portrayed as oafs who have little to say about their children, about matters of faith and morals. Recent data suggests that fathers very much contribute to the spiritual future of their children. A father can teach children to stay in church simply by going to church on a regular basis. The numbers demonstrate that if dad stays, the children stay. While it is certainly possible for only mom to raise the children in a life of lasting faith, studies show that the heirloom of religion rests on the father. For example, a 1994 Swiss study gives insight into the trends among churchgoers regardless of religion. The study provided a wide range of family scenarios, providing data for a variety of family situations. What happens if the mother is practicing and the father is non-practicing? What happens if only the father is practicing? The results suggest that children follow the example of dad. If mom and dad go to church faithfully, mom and dad go to church faithfully, 33% of their children will grow up to be regular attending patrons of the church. Now, that in itself is a startling percentage, startlingly low. And I like to digress into a little cul-de-sac for a moment here, because this may touch upon you and your own situation. And perhaps you're looking around and you're saying, what did we do wrong? You know, my husband and I, my wife and I, we faithfully went to Mass every Sunday. We prayed grace before meals. Maybe you homeschooled your kids. Maybe you scrimped and saved so they could go to Catholic school. You made sure that they had contact with the faith. Maybe you invited Father McGillicuddy over for dinner any number of times. You had your house blessed. You had a crucifix in your home. You did everything you could think of to do to raise your children Catholic, and now they're gone. Does that describe you or somebody that you know? That's why I'm saying this is a startlingly low percentage. If mom and dad both go to church, 33% of the kids are going to grow up to go to church. It should be 99% of the kids. But here's the thing. We're living in a different time now. I mean, this is a truism, but it's true. You're living in a time unlike any other time in human history. And that is largely because of the internet. Now, there are other factors at work. You know, we've seen since the 1960s, the sexual revolution, the rise of mass media, the ways in which our society has been fragmented and divided and then divided further and further and further. It's not that Americans haven't been divided before. We fought a war over that in the 1860s. But I'm talking about the disintegration, in the strict sense of the word, the disintegration of our society in so many ways. The rise of rampant, ubiquitous pornography. Everywhere you look, you don't even have to look. It's there. It's on your phones. This is why I missed your wet blanket when the issue of giving kids and teenagers smartphones, I will go to my grave saying this to you, believe me, it's like handing your child a stick of dynamite. If you give your child or an adolescent, and depending upon the child, even up to, you know, 16, 17, 18 years of age, you're making a serious mistake if you're allowing your kids to have smartphones. And I know, Mr. Wet Blanket, but I'm sorry, I'm telling you the truth. You're alive as a parent at a time unlike any other generation ever had to face, and there are unique challenges to rearing your children in the faith, even in the best of homes. Even if you've done everything right, it's just the environment is so toxic now, and it's hostile to Christianity in a particular way. It's hostile to belief in God in general. So theism certainly is under strain, as we can see in the numbers from the number of people who are becoming atheists hand over fist. But the reason I say this, and I'll go back to the article, is because I don't want you, number one, I don't want you to lose hope. This is one reason why Relevant Radio is here, to help you every step of the way. But another thing is, I don't want you to feel as though you are a failure because your child is now a high-functioning atheist. Your child is now a baptized pagan for all intents and purposes because he or she went off to college, lost the faith, and is now very far away from God. I don't want you to feel like you're a failure because you're up against a tsunami unlike anything any other generation in human history ever had to deal with. And let's face it, none of us was prepared for it. Cyrus, were you prepared for the internet era and raising kids in the era of internet?
I am still not prepared for it.
I don't think anybody is. So that's, I just wanted to get that out there because I know how many of you are feeling the pain and the stress and the second guessing. What did I do wrong? Could I have done better? What should I have done that I didn't do? What should I not have done that I did do? And you come up empty-handed because you did all the right things. God knows you did all the right things.
I'm a reasonable guy, but I've just experienced some very unreasonable things.
Yes, or worse to that effect. Back to the article. What happens if dad is active in going to church, but mom is not? Curiously, the numbers seem to go up. As previously stated, 33% of children remain when they witness both mom and dad going to church regularly. Check it out. The number grows to 38% with an active dad and an occasionally active mom. And it goes up to 44%. Talk about counterintuitive. Goes up to 44% if only dad is going to church. Go figure. Mom and dad both going to church faithfully, 33% of the kids are going to grow up to be churchgoers. But if only dad is going to church. Now, by the way, moms, this doesn't get you off the hook. This is not licensed to, you know, sit back on Sunday morning, obviously. But isn't that weird that the percentage goes up to 44% when just dad goes to church? To sum up the data, the article author says, if dad does not attend church regularly, only 1 in 50 of his children will remain in church. Now, even I don't have that many kids, but it's a statistic, 1 in 50. According to another study, this is from Lifeway Research Group. That's a Protestant organization. They do a lot of good work, by the way. Father's Day is the single lowest average holiday for church attendance, lower than Labor Day, lower than Memorial Day, lower than the 4th of July. Conversely, Mother's Day has the third highest church attendance after Easter and Christmas. As Johnny Carson would say, I did not know that. First time I read the article, my eyebrows went up. The director of Lifeway Research offers his own thoughts, saying clearly mothers want to be present for the affirmation that is typically offered in most churches, but families also are present knowing their attendance will honor their mother. The attendance difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day is telling. Either churches are less effective in affirming fathers, or families believe Christian fathers don't value their participation in worship services. So what must be done is the question that's posed in this article. First of all, the recommendation, mothers, do not despair. The building blocks of faith rest with you. Live Science reports that loving mothers can help their babies develop larger brains and have a greater capacity for learning, memorizing, and responding to stress. St. Paul says that St. Timothy was raised in the faith by his mother and grandmother. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. St. Augustine credits his mother, St. Monica, for her fervent prayer, which ultimately led him away from paganism. Jesus himself describes the beautiful qualities of mothers who gather their children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. That's Luke 13, 34. It's time to empower mothers and fathers to bravely stand up for the spiritual future of their children. Moms, do you feel alone in this task? Find father figures within your parish community. I would alter that and I would say, tell your husband to get it in gear. If you're married and you have a husband and he's the father of your children, he is the number one father figure. If you don't have that, and some people don't, then this is good advice if you don't have that. But I would say rather than look for father figures within your own parish, first, help your husband do what he should be doing as the spiritual head of the family. Perhaps it's a grandfather or uncle. Perhaps it's a youth minister or a pastor. Invite them over for dinner. Allow your children to witness strong men in the faith. Text your husband a good Catholic podcast to listen to. I know one, by the way, it's called The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Inconspicuously leave a book for him in the bathroom. That's a tactical advantage right there because you know the book will get read.
I've tried that.
Did it work?
Well, the book was at least touched because then I found it in the living room. So,
oh,
yeah.
So it was removed from the bathroom.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know what that means. I just know someone else touched it.
There is something to be said for reading material in that room. They tend to get read. Anyway, let's press on. Thank you for adding that, Cyrus. As for the Catholic Church's part, she has always stressed the importance of mom and dad bringing up the children in the faith together. When a Catholic couple gets married, declaring before God that they will accept children lovingly from God, then to bring them up according to the law of Christ and his church. And as the Catechism establishes the parents as the primary teachers of the faith, saying in paragraph 2235 to 2236, parents have the mission of teaching their children to pray and discover their vocation as children of God. Let us pray that fathers have the courage to be a witness of faith to their children. For good or ill, they are ultimately the model of God for their family. And this is not unique to me. Other people have said the same thing, but I've been saying that millions of times over the years. So that's helpful information, I think. Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't look back and say I was an utter failure. Sure, you look back and you say, could I have done things better? We could all have done things better. But if in good faith you were trying your best, doing what you thought was right at the time, God understands that. So ask him to help you find the ways to help your children come back to a practice of the faith. God wants them back in church even more than you do. So rely on that and ask for that. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Vinny in Orlando. Hi, Vinny.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Listen, I have a niece, and she called me on the phone the other day and gave me some good news that she got married to another female.
That's good
and
news.
So that's what she shared with me. Mm-hmm. And so I was calling for a little guidance. This is a mm-hmm. A topic that I obviously don't agree with, but I want to respond in love.
Yeah. What did you say to her?
So I said, wow, that's very exciting for you. And Then I basically kind of just asked her some other questions about where she was, and then I basically said, well, I'm praying for you, and I hope everything goes well, and I love you. So that was about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were caught flat-footed. You weren't sure what to say. I can understand that.
Right.
No shame in that. But now that you've talked to her about this, are you wondering what will you say the next time you talk to her?
Because it's going to come up.
It'll come up, I'm sure. Well, I mean, this is what's so difficult about the situation, because you love her, obviously, and you want to speak the truth in love. And sometimes out of fear or being intimidated, people will do the love part really well, but they don't do the truth part very well. So my advice right. would be perhaps say something to her. Is she a Catholic?
Grew up Catholic, obviously, for the last probably 10 years or so. She hasn't really practiced.
Okay. So maybe say something like this. You know I love you. You know I want you to be happy. And I would do anything in my power to help you be happy. And one thing I can do is to tell you the truth, that what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is contrary to the gospel. And I really do hope and pray that you'll change your mind and stop doing this, because it's spiritually lethal for you. And I'm always here to help. I love you. I support you. You have my complete commitment to your happiness. And part of loving you is telling you the truth. I realize you don't want to hear it. And maybe you're angry with me for telling you this, but it's still the truth. And I'm always here for you. If you ever need encouragement or help or anything, please let me know. But I can't agree with what you're doing. It's wrong.
Okay.
Now, it's easy for me to say into a microphone, you know, not speaking to an actual flesh and blood person who's got emotions and is probably defensive and angry about that. I realize it's easy to say it in this context, but you can say it, and I think you should say it in a loving, compassionate way. But maybe you're the only person in her life, Vinny, who has got the gumption to tell her the truth. Maybe her parents aren't willing to tell her the truth. And maybe if she doesn't hear it from you, she may not hear it from anybody who really matters to her. You know? Something's funny going on with the phone, Cyrus. Can you help me? There we go.
Prior to, like, getting truth, I should be like, okay, this is probably not going to sound, you're probably going to get at what I'm about to say.
Well, the chances are pretty good that she will, but I don't know if I would lead with that. I would lead with love and compassion. I would lead with love and compassion. I love you. I care about you. I want you to be happy. All of those things, in your own words, obviously, but I would lead with love and compassion, because you do love her and you do want her to be happy. But if you lead with, well, I know you're probably going to get mad when I tell you this. It's like somebody who says, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but, and then they're rude. You know, then they say something rude. So maybe just tell her from your heart, I love you. I care about you. I want you to be happy. Mm-hmm. And this is not the road to happiness. This is the road to perdition. This is contrary to the gospel. Jesus does not want you to live this way.
Okay. Well, thank you. That gives me some food for thought.
Yeah. If you want to give her a book, there's a really good book by the late Father Benedict Rochelle. It's called The Courage to be Chaste. And that may speak to her. It may resonate with her at some deep level. Couldn't hurt.
Right. Very good. Well, thank you, Patrick, and great day.
Yeah, you too. You too. And her too. I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Are you among the 71% of Americans who don't have a will or have an outdated will? Relevant Radio has partnered with FreeWill to provide you with an easy and intuitive online service to create your will at absolutely no cost. Make your will today in about 20 minutes. Go to relevantradio.com/freewill. That's relevantradio.com/freewill.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
All right, we are back. This is the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you for listening. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. And Cyrus, who do we have up first waiting on the phones? Brian in Providence. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you. My question is, I work for a large company that is requiring a proof of vaccination for me to enter into the building in New York City.
Okay.
And from a moral standpoint, if I disagree with the vaccine mandate and how it was developed, et cetera, am I morally culpable if I, and this is weird, but if I submitted a faulty proof of vaccination?
By faulty, do you mean fake?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, okay. Yeah, I think that would be wrong. See, we can never do something wrong in the service of a good goal. And although I can readily understand why you would oppose the vaccine mandate, I think that there's been so much overreach on that issue. So many unnecessary restrictions and coercions. So I can empathize with your position, but that's not the right solution to do that. So you then are, I don't know if it's technically breaking the law, but I think it would be breaking God's law to do that.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. I thought that's where you were going to go with it. I may lose my job because of this, but I guess I'm in good company. I'm in good company with others who have done the same, so.
Do you have alternatives? I mean, could you start looking for something so that you could land on your feet if it gets to that point?
I suppose I could. I'm going to have to do something radical in that regard.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate you weighing in on this. It's kind of where I thought you were going to go. And that's why I haven't done it so far. I've had lots of opportunities to do that. I just haven't gone there. And I'm pleased that you at least answered what my conscience is telling me as well. So,
well, thanks, Brian. Thank you. And I will say a prayer that this doesn't come to that, because I could understand how difficult that would be for you. But you can never go wrong by telling the truth and doing the right thing. And even if things get difficult as a result of it, you know, your policy of truth, mm-hmm. as Depeche Mode would say, in the end, it's always going to be better for you.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Isn't it crazy that these an employer would require this at this stage?
I know. There's so much unnecessary. I mean, we saw it throughout COVID. You know, the unnecessary, extravagant precautions that were really not necessary. And I think some people, when they tasted a bit of power, that might have been the motivating factor for them. I know there are people who say, well, you know, the science says this. The science was conflicting every step of the way. You had different science saying different things. And we read some of that stuff. You remember, Cyrus, from the New England Journal of Medicine, or Journal of American Medical, whatever, peer-reviewed, top-flight journals, The Lancet. Yep. And it was, you know, we're all trying to make sense out of this, and there was a lot of conflicting stuff. But in retrospect, I think a lot of it was way overblown and way exaggerated and how unfortunate.
They sure pushed fear, and now the pharmaceutical companies have made record profits, mm-hmm. and they keep pushing it.
Mm-hmm. Think of all those people. I hate to be a downer, but think of all those people who died in nursing homes and hospitals whose families were not permitted to come in and see them for fear, or even the priests wouldn't go in to see them to give them the last sacraments for fear that you might catch a bug. It was a really dark time in many ways. We don't need to be reminded of that, but as long as we're on the topic. So Yeah, I agree. Anything you want to vent about on that, Cyrus? Feel free.
let's do it over. Let's do it over a glass.
You're not going to take that bait, are you? All right. Okay. Let's see. How about Lisa in Redlands, California? I know that town rather well. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Patrick. Oh, I'm surprised you know our town.
I do.
Nice to speak to you. I am not Catholic, but I do enjoy your show.
Okay.
So I just wanted to pick your brain about a couple things that I've heard you say. I took your movie recommendation, The Old Henry. My husband and I really enjoyed it. But my question is, you know, a couple days after you recommended it, you were describing it to someone and you said, well, there is some violence and, you know, that's just kind of how things were done back then. And, you know, and it was outright murder and theft. But you seem so scandalized by a happy, loving homosexual couple in the Buzz Lightyear movie. And so I'm wondering how you...
How do I square that?
In your mind, yeah.
Okay. Let's start there. It's a fair question. The difference is that the happy, loving homosexual couple... I didn't see the Buzz Lightyear movie, so I only read the review, and I shared a bit of that on the air. That is, number one, it is in itself immoral. And number two, it's intended to indoctrinate children who are going to be the primary viewers of that movie. So my objection rests upon those two things. In the case of Old Henry, he was not murdering anybody. He was under attack, as you may remember. The guy who played Old Henry, his home was being invaded. He was trying to help somebody who had been shot.
Spoilers.
And yeah, spoiler alert. Sorry about that. But since you asked, Lisa, I might as well say it. And they were trying to kill him and his son, and he was defending himself. So two totally different situations. And although it's violent, it was understandable violence under the circumstances because he was trying to defend himself and he had to defend himself with a gun. So those are my reasons, and that's how I square those.
The opening scene of the movie is not him defending. It's the thieves killing the other thief in a very brutal way. So that was outright murder. But
yeah, it was. But the whole point is those are the bad guys, and they're the ones who are trying to kill him. So I don't see any inconsistency there. If you do, I guess we disagree on that point.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
My second question was, you took a call from, or actually it was an answer to an email, about someone saying, if I had to choose between my husband and my children, and you described a couple having a difference of opinion about a kid going to a camp. And then in kind of in an offhanded manner, you said, oh, well, the husband as the head of the household would make the final decision. And I'm wondering how, I don't get that at all. Just
really?
By virtue of his XY chromosome, he gets to make final decisions.
Wow. Okay, well, let me share with you what the Bible says on that. This may help. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And by the way, this doesn't mean in anything sinful or wrong. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. I could go on, but there are ample examples in Scripture where Jesus, St. Paul, and others talk about the husband being the head of the home. It's right there in Scripture. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
That seems like a very misogynistic perspective. I mean, if the man, maybe he's not able to make that decision. Maybe he's on drugs. Maybe he's abusive. Why should he make final decisions about the family if he's not suited to do so?
Well, in any given situation, that's true. The man may be a drunk or he may be in some other way incapacitated. So you'll notice that I made that caveat that this is not something that extends to anything wrong or sinful. But the way the Lord established families in the Garden of Eden is that the husband is the head of the family. And I realize that given the inroads that radical feminism has made in the last, say, 50, 60 years, that's considered outrageous, but it never used to be. It was always standard scriptural understanding. So I understand if it rubs you the wrong way, but that's what the Bible says.
Okay. Well, I asked for your perspective, and I got it. Thank you very much.
You did. And I appreciate your phone call. I really do. Always happy to talk. 888-914-9149. How about Mike now in California? Hello, Mike.
Hi, Patrick. I just wanted to chime in on my perspective on the fake vaccine cards.
Sure.
I have a fake vaccine card, and so does my whole family. And we actually, as a community at my parish, those who needed them got them, because being from California and probably your caller earlier from New York, there's nowhere you could work or live in these two blue states mm-hmm. that don't allow you to be unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. Now, my perspective is, rather than going against our pro-life values and having to yield to a vaccination just in order to provide for my family, using a fake vaccine card is not as bad, you know, for the greater good than to yield to needing a vaccine to survive.
Well, you're still doing something that's wrong, though. You're doing something immoral to try to achieve a good goal. I can understand the goal. You know, I won't dispute that with you at all. But you can't resort to doing something immoral to do something good. And that's what you're doing. And not only that, Mike, you're teaching your children that it's okay to lie to get what you want. And that's wrong, too.
But do you think it's immoral to have to fight the good fight? And, I mean, I'm not saying that those who got vaccinated, if that's their choice, that's their choice. But, you know, even the school system in California was trying to get mandate vaccines for my children. And you can see all the bad things that are happening to those who even got vaccines, especially the children, where they're, you know, they're messing up the reproductive systems, they're doing all these things. I mean, this is all medical things that haven't even been properly researched. It's mm-hmm. just an emergency vaccination, and I don't want to be anyone's guinea pig. So they're trying to push something that should be immoral on us. So how is it immoral to just fight the fight?
Well, it's not that you're not trying to do something good by protecting yourself. As I say, I don't dispute that. And you can find other ways to do this. But as the Bible says, think about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength. But with the temptation will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So the way of escape is not to do something immoral. The way of escape is to find some other alternative that doesn't draw you into immorality. And I mean, Mike, you're a good guy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to grind on you. But I really do believe that what you're doing is wrong. And it's even more wrong because you're teaching your children that you can lie to get what you want. And that's scandalous. And that will transfer into ways that you don't even want. You know, if they say, well, Dad told us we can lie and forge documents to get what we want, what other things might they decide to do down the road? Because, well, Dad said it's okay. I mean, it sets them up for problems down the road. I mean, there are plenty of ways to get around it. And I know actually many, many people in California who are not vaccinated and they still work their jobs. They still have kids in school and they haven't resorted to forging vaccine cards. I know them personally, and yeah. I know that they share your view about vaccines. So, I mean, I can understand the predicament yeah. that you're in, but this isn't the solution to it.
Yeah, and I was one of the only people in my company to be able to get a religious exemption on the vaccine. So I did get saved there. But my daughter is the first person in my family and my wife's family to go to college, mm-hmm. but she would not have been able to attend a college anywhere in California if she didn't have a vaccine. So right. should she have just passed up college?
Well, there are other alternatives. She could go to college out of state. I mean, you have a number of options at your disposal, some of which would be life-changing. I grant you that. But I wouldn't want that on my conscience, that I was using a forged document and trying to trick the crazy people in charge in Sacramento. I mean, they've got plenty of problems they're going to have to answer for. But I also wouldn't want, as a father, to have that on as a bullet point on my exit interview, that I taught my kids that you can lie to get what they want. That's not
Ooh,
good.
I don't want that on my karmic record.
No, I really don't.
Yeah, so
I mean, I'm not trying to be argumentative. Please don't misunderstand me. But
yeah,
what I'm saying is that there's a principle here that we can't do evil to try to accomplish a good goal. And it's not always easy, you know.
And what I don't understand is then why do my parish priests have the same cards and help me get the card I have?
Well, for the same reason that you did it. They took a shortcut. Remember what Jesus says about lying. You know, he says that lying is the work of the devil. The Catechism says a lie consists in speaking a falsehood with the intention of deceiving. The Lord denounces lying as the work of the devil. You are of your father, the devil, he says. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Lying, the Catechism says, is the most direct offense against the truth. To lie is to speak or act against the truth in order to lead someone into error. By injuring man's relation to truth and to his neighbor, a lie offends against the fundamental relation of man and of his word to the Lord.
Yeah. I know what you're saying, and I agree on some fronts, but just like the priest that helped me get it, they had to get it in order to give people their last rites because they weren't even allowed in hospitals. They weren't even allowed to be with the sick.
What a terrible dilemma. Yeah, that's a terrible dilemma for them to be in. And my heart goes out to them. It really does. It's a difficult situation all the way around, Mike. I agree. All I'm proposing is that we not make it more difficult by doing something that's egregiously wrong. I don't think that solves the problem. Okay. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. If you were to juxtapose what you just said, just do a thought experiment. What about all those Catholics, I'm sure you know them, who say, well, my parish priest said that it is not immoral to get the vaccine. And because the Moderna vaccine, for example, was not derived in any way from the HEK cell line, there was no aborted fetal cell tissue that was involved in that one. And I'm picking that one out because there were some that clearly were compromised that way. There was some testing done after the fact, but that wasn't something that, you know, the vaccine was derived from. And my point is that Catholic will tell you, well, my parish priest said it's okay for me to get the vaccine. And for that matter, the Pope said it and the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith said it and my bishop said it. So the church says it's okay to do that. And there's no taint of abortion in the derivation of that vaccine. I know you would disagree with them. But look at what we're left with then. Then you would say, well, do we listen to the parish priest only when he agrees with me? Or do we do the right thing? What is the right thing to do in a given situation? And then, Lord, please help me to do the right thing, no matter what.
Yeah, so that forms for me because I did my own research and my own bishop said it's so far from the original sin that it's a better to get the vaccine. But to me, being pro-life to the core and being the boots on the ground in front of Planned Parenthood and the rallies, you know, I don't care how far it is from the original sin, the sin is still there. And
yeah, but I apologize, Mike. I have to take a break. I'm way over time. There are countless hardcore, devout, Catholic pro-life people just like you who take the exact opposite view. Unfortunately, I'm out of time. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the call. I'll be right back. Let me ask you, can the Catholic Church have a future if we Catholics don't understand our past? Experience history the way it should be taught in a free online class from Christendom College. Just go to principlesclasses.com.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
I knew it. I knew it. Cyrus, I predicted it. People are starting to come unglued. No, it's okay. Just people are at their computers typing emails. But Patrick, what about the Jews during World War II? What about lying to protect the Jews? What about Pope Pius XII forging baptismal certificates? Was he wrong? Somebody says, well, it's a different situation. Here's why. Because, as I understand it, according to the law of California, if you forge a vaccine card, that is illegal. I would also say, as I said before, that it's not a necessary thing to do, because there are other ways of dealing with this problem. Some of them are life-changing, that's for sure, like maybe moving, but sometimes that might be necessary. In the case of Pope Pius XII, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the church having its own documents. You know, that's not under the supervision or the laws of Germany when the Nazis had occupied Rome and they were seeking to kill the Jews. So sometimes you're in an unwinnable situation. So let's take the Jews. I mean, within seconds, somebody had sent me an email about that. Sometimes you only have two choices, and both are terrible, and you have to choose the less terrible one under some circumstances. But this is not that. This is not that type of an extreme situation. I mean, it's difficult for sure. I don't mean to underestimate it. But the principle remains, whether we like it or not, that we are not supposed to do evil in the service of a good goal. And I can readily understand the goal in mind here. Please believe me. But all I'm advocating for is let's exhaust every possibility first. Let's seek to do what is right and true first. As it says in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think these principles we have to keep closely in mind as we navigate through, let's face it, very difficult times, no doubt about it. I had one email that came in. Where did it go? I had it here a second ago. Oh, yeah. This is from Stephen, listening in Providence. Thank you, Stephen. He says, I called last summer concerning the vaccine mandates in Rhode Island. I was let go from my hospital job as I asked for a religious exemption, and I and a few others legally fought it. After 5 months of not hearing anything, I started a novena to St. Joseph. 2 weeks into my novena, I received a call from my lawyer saying that we won. A few days later, I received a call from HR that I can come back to work, starting the day after Easter.
Hopefully with back pay.
Oh, man, wouldn't that be great? So that's great, Stephen. Happy for you. And the fact that you underscored the importance of prayer, I think, is very important in itself. Thank you. Let's go to Auralia in Chicago. Hi, Auralia.
Hi, Patrick. How are you? I was also, regarding the vaccine mandate, a nurse at a hospital in Chicago, and I was also tempted to lie about it because I went to my local priest and said, can you please sign this exemption form? And he said, I cannot, because we are also required to take it. So then I was kind of upset about it, and I went with my husband, and I was like, I'm not coming back to this church. And then he's like, no, that's not the right approach. You know, like, and it's not his fault. And I was like, you know what? That's right. With Relevant Radio helping with my for my conscience, I was like, you know what, that's not the right approach. Instead, we started praying to St. Joseph. And I did a letter, and I put in form, I said, my priest could not sign this form. But I still have my religious exemptions, and the help of the USCCB that had a letter out that I also printed and turned in the catechism, and telling them why my consciously I could not take the vaccine. I was also like praying, like that last email after finishing to say novena to Saint Joseph, my exemption form got accepted.
Well, I didn't agree with the approach that some priests took, saying, nope, they're not going to write you a religious exemption. I don't think that was the right course of action, because if in conscience you seek to do that, I think that should have been done. So I'm sympathetic to anybody who requested it, but I understand what you're saying, Aurelia.
But yeah, at the end of the day, you know, they're priests and they have a lot, and then if they have a bishop that's also mandating it to them, I was like, well, that, you know, at the end, it's fine. We're still Catholic. Our faith's still strong, and I think we've been blessed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that's good to hear.
Another comment is like, it took me 6 years. I know another caller had called saying that she wanted to get her daughter back into the Catholic faith with her four kids. It took me 6 years for my sister to actually start listening to relevant radio, and now she's listening.
Oh, that's good. She's listening. Did she come back to the faith yet?
She was always like going to Sunday mass here and there, but now she's more strongly.
That's good. So little by little, right? Step by step.
Yeah.
That's great. Happy to hear that, Aurelia. Thank you. I appreciate that. And as I predicted, Cyrus, the floodgates are opening. So here's another one. This is from Amy. She says, Patrick, totally disagree with you on the fake vax card issue. The subject is death jab. This man is trying to keep his family safe and alive. The jab is immoral and does have very serious side effects, disabilities, and death. I am just aghast by you telling him he is doing something immoral. Well, deal with it, Amy.
Obviously,
that gun, quote unquote, has not been placed on your family's head. It might be a different scenario if it were your family. Wow, so disappointed. Well, hate to disappoint you, Amy, but that's how it is. 888-914-9149. This is another one. Catherine, listening in Florida. Imagine all the people who got the fake vax cards stood up at that time and said, no, I have been 10 months without work, and I have left the state of my birth and family to travel over 1,000 miles for work. I have run through my savings, and it is a suffering of a kind, the worrying about finances. If others all stood up at the time, rejected coercion, and stood with us who lost our jobs, we would be in a much better place in society today with the encroaching governmental authoritarianism. It's different, a bit uncomfortable being by myself, but I started a new job on Monday. Well, that's good news. I'm happy to hear that, Catherine. And I realize, just from what you said in your email, it was a real sacrifice. I admire that. You know, doing everything that you can possibly do to make the situation livable. Thanks for sending me that email. Let's see. I'm just looking for some phone calls here. We got plenty. Let's go to David in L.A. Hi, David.
Hi. Good morning, Mr. Madrid. How are you doing today?
I am well, thank you.
I know you're coming up on the hour. I just wanted to make it quick and give a quick word of moral support to a couple of your callers, especially the first gentleman a few months ago who had asked whether or not it was the moral choice to fake a card.
Yeah.
I, from personal experience, lost my gig because I stood my ground. And much like your last email that you read from Catherine, it's been tough. But unfortunately, and she's absolutely right, that had people stood their ground, we wouldn't be in a completely different, maybe even more advantageous position these days. However, given the situation that we're in, I just want to let Catholics out there know that, you know, don't take the dose of fear, take the dose of faith, because one's going to last you longer and feed you more. And ultimately, on the unfortunate side, the folks who are not going by the honor system, they're going to come up with a way. It's going to get here sooner than later. They're going to come up with a way to weed them out. So nothing shall remain hidden. Mm-hmm.
When you say weed them out, are you referring to like forged vaccine cards? Is that what you mean?
Yes, I know. Okay. Plenty of coworkers who kept their job while I was booted, and it has come to my attention that they are going to find a way of those who did not follow the honor system and decided to get fake documents, and they think they can keep their job for as long as they can, but it's not going to be much longer. So, but ultimately, when you make the decision of standing to have a character instead of being a character, you can stand a whole lot taller.
Excellent point. Excellent point. It's so interesting, and maybe that's not the right word. It's I don't even know what the right word is, but it's I can't tear my eyes away from what's happening in this country and the way in which the vaccine and the masks and COVID and the mixed messages and the contradictory quote-unquote science and how it has just ripped people apart. It has introduced such incredible division. I mean, look at even just good-minded Catholic folk listening to this program. Some of them are furious that I would say what I said. They're absolutely, like Amy said, she's aghast that I would say, don't lie, don't forge a document. That's how far we've gone, where this stupid thing has pulled us apart. I'll give you the last word, David. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, consider it a litmus test. I mean, times are going to get more interesting from here on out. So put your faith in Christ and stand tall, even if you've got the worries of how you're going to take care of your family, because as I've found, even though my times are getting difficult from losing my gig, it's astonishing how much closer to Christ is coming into my heart and my life and remaining with me at the same time.
That's beautiful. That's a great way to wrap up this hour of the program, David. Thank you for that. And I hope life gets better and easier for you sooner rather than later. Thank you. All right, hour three is about to start, and you can be part of it. If you want to call 888-914-9149. I will be right back.
Fear will keep the local systems in line.